This Fab FM podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mosman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mosman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
First question, what will you bring to the Douglas Shire Council if you are elected?
Paul, I've got a very strong background in local government and I have lived in the region most all of my life. So I was born in Townsville, educated at the James Cook University in Townsville, graduated with a commerce degree and completed further areas of study in local government. Got a local government, in those days called local government clerk certificate, which was somewhat like a diploma in local government covering town planning and the like. And also I completed further study to become a certified practicing accountant. So against that backdrop, actually, I also studied a lot of chemistry and biochemistry. So my first job after leaving university was to work in the mining industry as a laboratory technician at Queensland Nickel. So I spent about 2.5 years. That was the last mining boom before the current one. And I spent about 2.5 years as an analyst in the program there. And that was a time where nickel was up and down. So I learnt a lot. One of my mentors was the manager, a guy called Loy Hennessy. And he knew how to run a business and he knew how to run a business in the ups and downs of the nickel pricing. So it was great for me, I suppose, professionally as an analyst, but also as a manager. I then moved on to Townsville City Council and spent the rest of my time from 1979, basically till now, in local government in one way or another. In accounting, in audit, as a CEO, as an election returning officer, as a director of the town planning program in Douglas and so on it goes. So I have been very fortunate to work with some great mentors and to work with some great director generals in the Department of Local Government as we saw big changes in the planning legislation. So at the end of the day, against that backdrop, I really have got the time spent in gaining the experience that I believe you need to run a council. Now, at the moment, we have got a struggle on our hands. We will go into recession. We will need to react to that, and the government is doing that already. We also, as a council, will have to react to that. And in a summary I sent to the Tourism Association, I've indicated a recognition, if I'm elected and with discussion with other councillors, the need probably for council to put some emergent money into tourism promotion, destination marketing for the whole shire, from over the river, Cape Trib, right across the ambit of our tourism. We will need to promote it, destination promote it, as long as and hard as we can and put as much money into it as we can. Now, there will be other businesses. There will be the sugar industry. There will be coffee shops. There will be a whole lot of need in the community. And I think the council will have that opportunity to be an advocate to help those people get the funding that the Prime Minister has announced. I would also say that, you know, in life, it's not just the great experiences that mould you. It's the hard going, the hard yakka ones where things go not so well for you. And I've been through the hurly burly of politics and the like. And, you know, I know how to work with people. And what I love about this current election is that there is that opportunity to create open and transparent government with a totally new team. And I hope to be part of that team. I hope to be able to apply this experience in moving the Shire forward, it was already in recession in a way, and it's going to get a bit worse. It's not all doom and gloom, though. There will be opportunities. We will have to look out for them in the council. Business will have to look out for them, and as and when we see them, we will have to capture them. And in fact, we may be able to come out the other end slightly better off, or albeit perhaps a little battered and bruised. So it's that application of experience, that accounting, that audit, that that governance experience that I can bring with what I see as an opportunity for a great new team, 100% new, a new mayor, four new councillors, including me, that will be able to deliver. They do have the business background, and I do too. So hopefully we will go forward in leaps and bounds.
Terry, what will be your main focus on council if elected?
Paul, it goes back to the beginning of my answer to the first question. Things might have been a bit different without coronavirus, but my main focus will be working with the tourism industry. It's the biggest contributor to our GDP, in identifying opportunities for new funding from council, extraordinary funding from council, and from both levels of other government, so that we can push this place forward. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to leave other things behind, but at the end of the day, in my view at least, and I'm meeting with the Chamber of Commerce and hopefully with the Tourism Association later, I'm hoping that industry will get behind council, and council will get behind industry, leave any hang-ups we've got behind, work together and push this economy forward. We have to. The other things I've identified, but I've given my main focus, is to actually look at reducing red tape, looking at more assistance for small business, continuing best practice environmental management, and some recognition of what has been achieved already in terms of reducing our greenhouse gas footprint. I actually believe that we've already achieved zero greenhouse gas accounting position. And I'll explain that to the community in the future. I want to be part of a council that's about action on plans, not just more plans and strategies. Whatever happened to the waterfront master plan? The waterfront is still dead when our peak season's on, no irrigation, no maintenance, and so on it goes. There's no point looking back. We would hope that the council will be an action council. Also, I do support the preparation of a business plan for the proposed lagoon. It's very topical. There hasn't been a lot of detailed information provided, only nice brochure-type scenarios, and no one can make an informed decision on that project. I have an open mind on it. I must say, at the moment, from different cohorts, there's some less than supportive comment, but I really think we should go through the process and make an informed decision where people know the cost of building it, the cost of operating it, and they can decide whether that's where they want to put their rate dollars. Also, I really want to have a greater transparency and on decision-making in council. Went to a meeting the other night, and people north of the river have no detail, and none was provided by the mayor or sitting councillors on exactly what's happening with the ferry. It was more trust us, we're from the government. And look, you know, there's some things I know councils can't release, but they could say whether a contract's been let, how they're going with approvals, etc. And there's so many situations like that in the Douglas Shire, and in my view at least, it's got to change. I'd like to see increased employment and involvement in tourism and other industry for Indigenous people. And I think the Wangetti track in particular and the gorge are great opportunities already, but I'd like to see more. I'd like to see more walking tracks, because in country is where Indigenous people shine, in country. So really want to do that. Also, I would like to see more and better housing and better maintained housing for Indigenous people. We've got a pretty big percentage of Indigenous people in our shire, and they just need that little bit of extra help to move forward, although I must say I think they're going pretty well in terms of involving themselves in business, and there's a number of Indigenous businesses around the town, and also in terms of, I suppose, getting themselves involved in tourism. Also, I have to give a plug for the sugar industry and other agricultural pursuits. It's the sugar industry that's making us carbon neutral. And I've given some comment on that to others. And that's an industry that provides 200 jobs, and more than 5 training positions every year. Students in gap year working in laboratory and a lot of apprenticeships. So there's lots of opportunity there.
Terry Melchett, your final soapbox pitch.
Paul, I'd be privileged if the people of Douglas voted for me. I believe they should vote for me because I will be part of a team and I will work with a team to move this place forward in what will be difficult conditions. I especially, as many people know, I'm very supportive of having renewable energy in the Shire, and I think there's a great start to that happening north of the river. There's more opportunity on Council's water supply from the gorge to generate about 1 megawatt of power, and I've done the background work on that already some time ago. That's about 20% of the Shire's total electricity need. The other thing I want to see recognised, and it comes out of the cane industry. Now, cane isn't tourism, but gee whiz, cane keeps our shop front clean and green most of the year. So when the vista for people when they drive through is really great. It provides a lot of jobs. The farmers are doing a marvellous job in reducing their impact on the environment, reducing fertiliser, reducing chemicals, reducing runoff, and also in terms of increasing the quality of their soil by bio-organic processes. Also along the way, I think that it's important that we sort of move forward in terms of having the whole Shire on the same page. At the moment and in the past, unfortunately, there's a whole lot of interest groups that have different ideas, and that's great, but they're not accepting of everyone else's ideas. So it's for some groups, not all, it's sort of been my way or the highway. And the way forward for us, in my opinion, and what I'll be encouraging in council, encouraging with the whole community, is that the council listens, that all of the groups are attracted to listen to all of the views, and that we have a level of community engagement where we move the place forward by council with the community with a common view. And in the current tough times, if we do that, we'll come out the other end with trumps. We'll do really, really well. But we just have to do that. I do think also, as part of that process, how can you ask people to be involved and understand when you don't provide them with information? It's about open and transparent discussion. I have some particular views, and sometimes that's a view that carries and sometimes it's not. The important part is listening to everyone's views and accepting a final view, and that's the view we all push forward. We really, and that's the message I'm getting right across the Shire, is that that should happen. In terms of council operations, getting to the hard core, there is some doubt over its financial position. We're told we're going marvellously and everything is rosy, and yet the audit office, the independent umpire, tells us in its most recent report that we are a moderate risk in terms of our financial sustainability. Now, in investigating this material and getting my head across it, I asked council, although it had been discussed in closed session in the council meeting, if I could view the final report from the Auditor General. Now, that came to me quite quickly, but heavily redacted. And I think that's a signal there's more work to be done in finance at the council. That doesn't mean that the council is financially strapped, but it does indicate very strongly that there is need for financial management and improvement. And again, I believe I can be that person with the rest of the team of council where we can bring that back and we can issue that audit report every year, unredacted, to all who want to view it. I think that's just so important. No one ever gets everything right, but at least the community can see what's happened. Also, as part of that, we should have a community-based internal audit committee that engages the community in that transparency financial process.